Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band. I'm Tom Takar, the Wolf of Dog Street, joined, as always, by the Prince of Snarkness himself, Tommy McNamara. How are you, Tommy?
Tom, I'm doing well. I haven't had an eventful week, but I know you were in a beautiful state.
That's right. I was in Wichita, Kansas.
The beautiful state of Wichita.
That's right. Well, I wanted to say more than just the state. It felt weird. And you, of course, spent the weekend in Louisville. That's Tommy had a hand in some of the horse racing, if you know what I mean. Tommy likes to fuck horses.
Okay, I was like, yeah, awesome.
Our guest today is Tim Smith. By the way, I've decided there's just no, I don't care about us getting new listeners anymore. It's going to be mostly about horse fucking from now on, and that's just how it's going to be. We got Tim here. How are you, Tim?
I'm good. Thank you for having me, guys.
Well, Tim, you just moved to New York. Tell us what you think so far.
Just got here. Just what a beautiful city, dude. Mm-hmm. I was telling Tom, I'm just doing the typical New York, just getting my ass kicked on the train. It's just going the wrong way, or I'm obviously just going to Jersey.
I thought you meant literally.
No, not yet. Yeah. I'm not talking enough shit on the train yet to get my ass kicked.
It would be funny if you're like, excuse me, train conductor, I believe you're going the wrong way.
I don't mean to interrupt, but I'm supposed to be going that-a-way.
Could you drop me off here?
My girlfriend's pissed, actually. But it's been good. Been bouncing around trying to tell some jokes. Nobody likes them. It's fine.
Good.
Now, how would you compare New York City to Wichita, Kansas?
Oh, it's not even a comparison. Wichita 10 times out
of
10.
That is where it's happening, baby. God damn. There was, so I was at another loony bin. The Joker was there. They should have Joker every week at the loony bin. He'd probably kill there. He speaks to these people. But I gotta say, I was dreading. I was talking about how it's, I'm losing my mind at these loony bins or whatever. Mm-hmm. The Wichita one is actually pretty good.
Oh, nice.
A guy gave me $100 for making fun of his buddy's wife. It was, I had an insane, I want to say Friday late show, where it was funny. My buddy Dayton Bissett was hosting. Very funny boy. He's moving here too. And the early show, a guy was yelling out, and they just kind of like put up with it. And like the other comics kind of like laughed at the shit the guy said because it was uncomfortable. He was like trying to be funny in the crowd. He was like a douchey, whatever.
Love that.
And the second he did it to me, I stopped and said, "Shut the fuck up, sir." And his friends laughed at him or whatever. And then he did shut the fuck up. So then that sets the stage for the late show where there's multiple tables talking, and Dayton, I want to say because he saw it work for me and because I was shitting, I was like, we got to shut these people down quick because we can't have them talking the whole time. He immediately jumped from 0 to 100. they were talking. He goes, "Shut the fuck up." And Dayton looks like a child. He looks like a 15-year-old boy. And he pissed a lot of people off when he did that.
Yeah, that can really backfire on you.
Two different people wanted to fight him. Like, people who were older than him and bigger than him, they didn't care. Like, he offended this woman who apparently spent a bunch of money or whatever, and it didn't matter. But it was just funny that this was happening. But
some salt of the earth Christians, and they were like, I'm going to fuck this guy up.
Yeah,
after the show.
Yeah, not even after. Not after. Some would say during my set, they wanted to fight Dayton. So there was a lot of clamoring happening. But while all that was happening, this woman, I get on stage, this woman was on her cell phone immediately. And I was just like, what the fuck? Like, I haven't even said anything. You're already on your phone. Like, you're already done with this. And she was like, don't worry about it. Just keep going. And I was like, don't fucking, what? Like, that's not how this works.
Yeah, yeah.
I have the microphone. So I'm asking her questions. And she's, I don't know if this is true or not, but she says that the reason she's looking at her phone is that her mom texted her that somebody died in her family or whatever. And so I'm like, okay, that's, you know, that's too bad. But I was like, maybe go out to the lobby or something.
That's kind of a leave the show
situation. Yeah, I don't know if you should, if it's a big deal, maybe you shouldn't be sitting front row of a comedy show anymore, because this is weird for everybody.
She's like, oh, fuck.
And I wasn't trying to be a dick, but I couldn't feel out how much she actually cared about that, because she didn't seem to give a shit about what happened. But so I was like checking back in. I do a couple bits, then check back in and be like, what do I got to do? I also accused this guy of at her table of looking like an anti-vax Hank Hill, which because he was not, dude, the opener, the feature was did a bit about like his dick or whatever. And this woman was looking at him, rubbing her chin like she was contemplating the bit, like didn't understand it. And it was making me laugh so much. She's like, ah, a dick, huh?
Interesting. I didn't imagine such a thing.
But anyway, I checked my phone for something, and the woman whose mom texted her goes, I bet your mom texted you, which is a weird thing to say. And I was like, no, she didn't. I'm sure. And she's like, I bet she did. And I was like, no, I'm certain she didn't. And then like 10 minutes later, I checked my phone again and I said, oh, you're right. My mom did text me, and she said, everyone is alive. And it like, for some reason she loved that. And then the guy who I called Hank Hill fist bumped me, and then he paid me $100 after the show.
Incredible.
It
was just so, one
just
great line.
Another night in Wichita.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another nice time in Wichita.
Now, Tim, you're from Louisiana. Is that correct?
Correct.
This is my interview style.
Here we go. Yeah.
Yeah. Who were your guys?
Do we have a problem here? Are we good?
Do you know anyone that died? So here's Mike in Louisiana. Are you listening? What kind of music are you listening to on the bayou down there?
On the wall,
when you're growing
so
up?
I say I'm from Louisiana. I moved there when I was 14.
Okay.
So I spent most of my time in Louisiana.
So when I said you're from Louisiana, is that correct? And you said yes.
Yeah. What
was
the
that
fuck
bullshit?
Was that all about?
It's just easier. It's easier than being like, oh, well, I moved there. And so that was my sixth state to live in.
Sure.
Oh, wow. Were you an Army brat or whatever?
No, just bad parenting.
Navy brat?
They were bad just
like,
parenting?
Hey, buddy, pack your shit. And I was like, okay.
We want to be bad parents. We want to switch your schooling up just to fuck with you.
Yeah. Like, I'm just going to keep you on your toes.
That was impractical.
You make some
parenting?
New friends? Oh, well, forget them
that
forever.
That is a show. Impractical parents. Just fuck a kid up.
So yeah, so I say Louisiana because it's just easier than doing the whole this whole interaction that we just had.
Sure,
yeah, awful interaction.
yeah, bad podcast.
But was it all in the American South, or was it?
No, let's see. I was in upstate New York. I was in Ohio. I was in Alabama, Florida, Louisiana. Where was I born?
Damn, you were everywhere.
Richmond, Virginia.
Everywhere.
Yeah, just kind of bouncing around.
Damn.
And then we found ourselves. My mom's one of six from Louisiana, so we were in upstate New York. She was like, fuck this. This place stinks.
She kept trying to get po' boys everywhere.
Yeah, she's like, I just need a shrimp po' boy in my life, dude. Hell so yeah. They were like, all right. And we finally moved back down south.
So you were there from 14 to when?
To 28 until I moved to Chicago.
Whoa, that's wild. Look at that.
High school and college there, and then worked there for a little bit and off to Chicago.
Football-ass ages, I would say.
Dude, I went to LSU.
Oh, shit.
LSU football.
Sam, what'd you play?
LSU, if you ever get a chance, scoot on down to the Bayou and go to an LSU game.
Dude, we're going to the Bayou, not to where LSU. Wait, actually, yeah, we are. That is where LSU is. No, we're going to New Orleans.
It's in Baton Rouge.
It's Baton Rouge. That's right. It's because there's LSU shit all over New Orleans, so I get confused very easily.
Go to a Saints game. It'll be just as fun.
Yeah, dude.
What are you going to New Orleans for?
My bachelor party is the end of this month. And we're doing a show. Me and Tommy and Shane Torres, we don't have any details yet, but there will be a show.
Shane is certainly doing a great job keeping us posted.
Yeah, he likes to live in the shadows. He was like, there will definitely be a show. And then
also, do you guys want to go to a music festival in Chicago in September? It was the most recent update.
I didn't even see that. I muted that thread. No, that's not true.
That's a phantom
y'all
want
to go to a music festival?
Ah, there you go.
Dumbass. I'm kidding. I love Shane. No, we're doing my bachelor party there because it's my favorite city. I love New Orleans. It's so fun. It's like it's Vegas for the sophisticated.
Ooh, I like that.
I feel like people who go to Vegas, and not that I like Vegas too, but like it's not my. It's I feel like people who go to Vegas is like I have no idea how to have fun.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, let's just go to Vegas. Yeah. There will be fun there.
New Orleans is like Vegas with actual culture.
Yes.
It's like an actual place that exists.
Yeah.
Vegas is just this manufactured nonsense.
And it's like there's just the nature's beautiful. It's like the food is fucking incredible.
Bananas.
It's so good.
It is the best city in America.
Yeah, I love it so much.
I love it.
I like
these
sites for the sophisticated because I'm just picturing someone flashing their tits for beads and being like, this is culture.
Oh, an aristocrat. I didn't know. Okay. Jesus Christ.
That's going to be Tommy at the bachelor party.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to get so many bees.
That is true. Well, I mean, if you get away from Bourbon Street.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
Also, I like Bourbon Street too. Fuck it. I'm going to be walking around.
Get
with
a hand grenade. But you got to hit like Frenchmen. You got to do all that. Hit the Metairie a little. Or not the
Metairie.
Yes. I forget what the fuck I'm trying to say.
Just eating a
now,
damn
you know what time of the week we're going to New Orleans?
The weekend. That was a nice little setup
Thank you very much.
Come on.
We're talking about the weekend.
We're talking about the weekend.
Oh, I didn't put that together. I was like, why was that significant? I just put that together. You both like gave each other a knowing glance, and I was like, wait, what's so great about the weekend?
This is what happens when you switch schools every 3 weeks. Yep.
You never really quite learn. They constantly have you in the like tutorial mode of school.
I'm just always putting like covering my books, and then I just uncover them, hand them back in, and move to Louisiana.
And they do teach that in school, how to get riffs. I love that class. Okay, so Tim pitched us the weekend. We all agree it's a bad pitch, but we're going to talk about it anyway.
Yeah, I can tell you guys weren't thrilled with it.
No, I'm playing. I do want to talk about the weekend because I... oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, he did just send us the Chicago Fest. What the fuck? So with the weekend, people did shit on him a lot during the Super Bowl. Me and Tommy watched the Super Bowl together. I was quoted to say I thought he did a great job. I thought his Super Bowl performance was great. And I was just reading tweets of people being like, this fucking sucks. Like, the weekend blew.
This is when he had the fucked up face and it was like all the memes of him
running
around
looking
like confused.
In the funhouse.
Right. Yeah.
Which I thought was sick as hell. Especially, you got to keep in mind, it was fucking COVID. Tommy and I were at a super spreader event and we were trying to enjoy the game. But then, no, it was during COVID. And so they had to be a little creative with what they did for the performance.
Sure.
And I thought they did a great job. I thought it was really cool. And watching it, I was like, oh, shit, I know a bunch of Weeknd songs.
Yeah.
I didn't even know he had
that many. He sneaks up on you.
Well, because so many of them sound kind of similar that it's like, I was like, oh, that's a different song. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing about that performance is how much of his own money he had to spend on it. Do you know this? Have you heard about this?
I forgot about this.
Can you guys guess? I want you guys to guess a number of how much the Weeknd personally spent on his Super Bowl per his manager.
All right, let's do prices for
who was a known liar. But
is that right?
His manager, the mythomaniac. No,
oh, shit. You're making some big accusations.
And he's a cheat, too.
Guy owes me $100.
His name, the manager is named Sal Slaby.
That sounds like
a skeezy fucking name.
That's a liar.
I'm seeing his abortion show this weekend. Sal Slaby.
We're really not trying to get new listeners. We're making Allison Livey references.
By the way, if you're in New York, go see Allison Libby's one person show. I'm going this weekend for real. I'm excited. Nice. Yeah, I just bought tickets to see Saturday. Anyways. So Sal Slyby, he says
that the Weeknd spent this much money on his own Super Bowl halftime show, which is apparently like a bringer that you have to lose money on.
Tim, you go first. You're the guest.
It's weird because what is an insane amount of money to the Weeknd?
Right.
Like if I said $100,000 to me, it's like holy fuck.
Right.
So I'll say like $1 million.
Yeah, and I of course I'm going to say $1,000,001.
You bastard. Well, boys, if Sal Slaby can be trusted, the Weeknd spent $7 million of his own money on his halftime show.
That is fucking
isn't that crazy?
That is insane. Although it is what I spend every episode of this podcast.
Well, I get six of those.
Yeah, Tommy's rate is so high.
$7 million, what's the return? Like, where does he find money in that?
I mean, there must be, like...
What's he getting from that?
Yeah, they must pay you something, right?
Well, according to Billboard, he'll easily make back that $7 million he invested as he's set to make $1.3 per show on his upcoming tour.
There you go. Well, which there it is. There you go. Right. I mean, if you do the Super Bowl, you probably got the cash to blow. I don't think anybody's gone bankrupt doing the Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah. It's their little art project. Yeah, they just put their whole life into it.
They should let us do the Super Bowl. We'll put $7 million in.
Special guest, Tim McLaughlin. Crowd goes insane when he comes up.
And throwing up, we have Jeff Sheen. Jeff Sheen famously threw up while he did our show.
Incredible.
Just right in this very bathroom.
Sick or drunk?
Sick.
Or hung up. Okay.
He doesn't drink. Yeah, he sucks.
He's just that weird.
Yeah, he's just a weird fella. He just wanted to go force himself to throw. The man has a problem. Anyway,
fucked up that we let a Canadian do the most American thing in the world.
It is crazy how many Canadians have taken over our country. We got to get it back. I mean, Drake, and then the Weeknd. It's
Bieber.
Bieber, yeah.
Jim Carrey.
Jewel.
Talented people up there.
I can't remember. All right, well, let's... There is some, before, you know, people yell at us, there are people who fucking hate the Weeknd, and not just the Super Bowl thing. I looked up the Weeknd sucks, and a lot of people do think he's very boring and that he has no stage presence. This is from gamefacts.gamespot.com.
Oh, shit.
Someone says it's the Weeknd's music sucks as drug music. There's much more interesting drug songs out there, particularly in rap, rock, and it sucks as sex music. Nothing about his music evokes, it says dot, dot, dot. I'm going to say a boner.
Listen to the whole album. I didn't get my dick hard one time.
That is a you problem.
Yeah. You might need to consult a doctor if you ain't getting hard during this. Let's see. Yeah, I found a bunch of people saying he sucks. And then there's also the accusations that he's a misogynist and that he's biphobic.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, there was a whole tweet thread about how Jill Gutowitz, who just had a book come out, I used to joke that listening to The Weeknd was homophobic, but the lyrics from his new song, Lost in the Fire, are actually fucking vile. In 2019, we're still doing Fuck You Straight and calling female queerness a phase. Because he says... you said you might be into girls. You said you're going through a phase, keeping your heart safe. Well, baby, you can bring a friend. She can ride on top of your face while I fuck you straight, in parentheses, while I fuck you straight.
Jesus. Those are really aggressive lyrics.
Yeah. I can't tell if he means, like, fuck you straight, like I'm going to fuck you into being straight, or I'm going to fuck you like a straight person, which means I'm gonna come pretty quick, you know?
Which means poorly.
Yeah, not
viral
good.
Tweet voice.
And I'm gonna fuck you straight, meaning I'm not gonna have bed sheets.
There it is.
2 million. 2 million likes. So there is some stuff here. I searched weekend controversies. I forgot to text Jared, but I have a feeling he has no thoughts on the weekend.
Plus, he's busy. He's got Limestone.
Oh, of course, yes. Oh, by the way, go to Limestone. If you're in Bloomington, Indiana, it's this very weekend. You're right. I'm not going to bother Jared during this. But this lineup at Limestone, I said it earlier, it's fucking star-studded. They got James Adomian. They got Daniels. They got Bob the Drag Queen, Emma Willman, our buddy Emil Wakim, who was just on last week. Get over there. All right. Let's see. Let's read some of these controversies. Okay. A former friend and collaborator claims The Weeknd stole his stage name. Before he was a world famous solo artist under the pseudonym The Weeknd. Now, I don't know how to say his name, but it's Abel Tesfaye. That's how it's spelled like that. I don't know. Yeah. That's his real name. Was reportedly one half of a musical duo alongside musical producer Jeremy Zodiac Rose.
Who is the Zodiac Killer?
That is right. It's weird that he put it right in his name.
I'm telling you guys, it was me.
Stop trying to figure out these ciphers. It's in my name.
We started as a group. It was he and I, and we called ourselves The Weeknd. I came up with that name, by the way, Rose claimed in a 2012 interview.
And the imagination needed to come up with a name.
And it was out. It was with the It was,
no adjustments.
Yeah. Rose also alleged that he was partially responsible for developing Tesfaye's signature grimy sound and collaborated with him on his breakout album, House of Balloons, but was never credited or paid for his work. At the time of the interview, The Weeknd's team declined a request to comment, but that same year, hosting an AMA series on Reddit, he discussed his stage name, making no mention of Rose. He claimed he initially planned on using The Weeknd as an album title. I hated my name at the time, though, so I tried it as a stage name, he added. It sounded cool. I took out the E because there was already a Canadian band named The Weeknd, in parentheses, copyright issues. Pretty fucked up. I will say this is the same thing that's going to happen to me and Tommy someday, where I'll just be an artist who fucks horses or whatever. Tommy will be like, that was my thing. I don't know what he's talking about.
I guess in this analogy, you would also be calling yourself Stand By Your Band as you perform.
It would be like Stand By Your Band or something. Just tweak it.
Just doing stand up that has nothing to do with music. And like, what the fuck is this?
That would be funny, like how Kanye calls Chris Martin Coldplay. Yeah. He just started calling us Stand By Your Man. Yo, Stand By Your Man. That's a good time. What do you have to say about your guy here, Tim?
I mean, you know, some of the lyrics, I don't know. I can't. But I like Michael Jackson. He scratches the little Michael Jackson itch for me.
Yeah.
He sounds very similar.
Yeah, he does. And he's Jackson. He is notably a huge Michael Jackson fan.
Yeah.
It's very clear in his performances. I kind of like that, like, I don't know, maybe he can dance, but I just haven't seen that out of him. He's not like a Bruno Mars type.
I don't think so. I've never seen him really cutting a rug.
Yeah.
It's just like, because he'll do like the little, like he does those little, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. The little hee-hees and whatnot. And, you know, there's just a ton of similarities between him and MJ. MJ's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Timmy still needs his music.
So there's no other reason you stopped listening to Michael Jackson other than that he died.
Tim, I have some really bad news.
We can edit that part out. No, please, for the love of God, edit that part.
I love when people say that. Like, all right, I'll send you the file. Fucking do it.
Like, all right, you do all the work then.
I used to edit this podcast. Those days are behind me.
I mean, you know, people still listen to Michael Jackson, the man. He's a talented man.
I will say it's playing at my gym, like, all the time.
He does concerts there?
Yeah. I go to anti-woke gym.
I forgot to say this, but when I was flying back from L.A., even though I spent like 20 minutes talking about my flights that trip on the Patreon, they did have at the counter, they said, please report to the counter passenger, Michael Jackson.
That is great.
And I like jumped out of my seat.
Because like, your name is Michael Jackson.
He's flying commercial. Holy shit.
How the mighty have fallen. He is alive, but he has to fly commercial. That is so funny. man. Yeah, I get what you're saying. And we'll, if you want to forgive Michael Jackson of all his sins, that's your bed to lie in. But,
I don't know. I grew up liking Michael Jackson. I saw him dance. I was like, that's an unbelievable thing
right.
that a human being can do.
Yeah.
So then absolutely. I just, you know, just leaned into him for a really long time.
Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan. Of my Never heard the music. But no, I 100% know what you mean. We should hear some music since we've gotten into it. Before we go too much deeper, we got to hear some of these fucking jams, dude. All right, let's hear. Let's go ahead and hit people with Blinding Lights, just one that they already know. This is one of the hits. This is one of the top five on one of his top five on Spotify. You guys are gonna fucking love this fucking shit.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That song's cool.
Fun song.
It's undeniable, as they say.
Undeniable.
It's just a fun
banger,
one.
Dude.
One
undeniable.
Of the songs that you hear a million times, and then we hear it now. Still,
and you're like, still pretty
fucking
good.
Love
still
it. Yeah.
Yeah. Still pretty fun.
Still fucking love it. Number one on the charts in the UK and the United States of America.
Was it number one in the charts and in our hearts?
That is that's up for debate. This up-tempo electro-pop track finds The Weeknd recounting how his lover lights up his life. I said, ooh.
You have to stop that.
You get it. The singer is not at peace unless he is in the company of his lady. So who is the lady The Weeknd is speaking of? It is likely the singer is addressing his on and off on girlfriend, on and off and on girlfriend. What a weird way to phrase that. Bella Hadid. The clue is in the song's bridge where Abel tells the girl he will never let her go this time.
That's a clue?
After breaking up with Hadid in 2016, The Weeknd dated Selena Gomez for 9 months before reuniting with the model in 2019. Having lost Bella for a while, it seems he now realizes he is only emotionally completed when he's with her. Abel is determined to keep their relationship going this time. The Weeknd previously touched upon his need for Bella on his preceding single, Heartless. Seems kind of fucked up to Selena Gomez, huh? Mm-hmm. Only murders in the building stars.
2016, the election affected us all in different ways.
Right.
For me and The Weeknd, we broke up with our supermodel girlfriend.
others
became activists.
Yes.
It was all, you know, it was different stuff for different
people. Also, can't the song just be a song? They're like, there's a clue in the bridge. Like, I don't know if it's a clue. It's probably just a song he made.
You don't understand clue culture. you're no tech. That's a crossword.
Been doing
clue.
The crossword too much.
Why is that a fucking crossword clue?
It's in so many of them, yeah.
It's an old timey name for a gumshoe. A tech. anyways, I found some more controversy stuff that I want to address, but it's like, this is not as bad. This is like, I didn't realize that him and Drake had like a whole thing. Because I'll say this, I didn't know a ton about The Weeknd. Mm-hmm. Like, I like the hits. That Super Bowl halftime show, honestly, was like eye-opening to me. I was like, oh, I like this guy. I didn't realize how much I liked his music until then.
His new
then.
Album's really good, too.
I got it.
Don FM. I really enjoyed it.
But I, my main feelings about him came from his performance in the film Uncut Gems, where he he does my man Howie dirty.
He does.
He does my guy Howie dirty. And I saw him in that, and I said, you know what? Fuck this guy.
We would never do that.
It did make me like somewhat not like him. Even though I like his performance in the movie. I like when he sings and it's good, but then he has to go and do my man Howie dirty.
Oh my God.
This is not how we win.
You just pulled up on your computer to the thing that was so funny.
Yes.
You have to tell this now. This was incredible.
So as far as I searched weekend controversies, and there were the most recent one I totally forgot about.
I remember this happening.
So many of us know about the situation between Ukraine and Russia. The Weeknd was unaware of this. And right after they tweeted, like, after it was announced that Putin was like was going to be bombing Ukraine, The Weeknd tweeted, "Let's go!"
All caps. With like 100 O's. It's so funny. Like, the timing of it was just impeccable.
It was like right after. It couldn't have been worse timing for him. So, let's go.
Incredible.
That's the long-running feud between Toronto and Ukraine. Yeah. Ever since the Raptors played the Ukrainian basketball team.
So many people tweeted at him sincerely, like, this is really bad, man. Like, what's wrong with you? Like, not obviously he didn't mean to do that. But
did he ever explain what he was so pumped
two
about?
2 hours later, he tweeted, "Unfortunately, I'm just now seeing what's happening with the conflict, and we'll pause on tomorrow's announcement. I pray for everyone's safety." I think it was him announcing his new album.
Okay.
Because like 5 hours before that, he said, "It's finally here. It's time. Tomorrow." And then he 5 hours later, he goes, "Let's go." Which also makes it seem like, well, I thought you were going to say something tomorrow. Why are you saying it today? It's very, very badly timed. It's so funny when shit like this happens and it's like it's on BuzzFeed News and they feel like they have to write a whole fucking article, and it's like all that happened is just is that tweet. We don't need a whole fucking article about it. But hey, good for you guys who are good for our freelance journalist brethren. Anyways, like they explain like what's happening in the war, and it's like, that's not why I clicked on this. but no, I didn't know that Drake and The Weeknd had a big feud.
I didn't know they were beefing either.
So they're apparently good now, but this was years long. Fellow Canadian Drake is largely credited with launching The Weeknd's career after sharing the Starboy singer's music on his October's very own blog in 2011, featuring him on his Take Care album, and even bringing him out during multiple performances and tours. Drake had even publicly discussed plans to sign The Weeknd to his OVO sound label, so fans were shocked when The Weeknd signed with Republic Records in 2012. At the time, Drake tweeted, "You won't get away with just a thank you, .. You owe me a favor," a statement many presumed to be about The Weeknd. The two managed to remain somewhat civil until 2015, when The Weeknd claimed that he gave up almost half of his album to Drake's Take Care. Damn. Drake later hit back at the allegation by saying The Weeknd co-wrote on Shot For Me and Practice, obviously was featured on Crew Love and The Ride, and that's it.
Obviously.
There's 20 songs on that album, Don't Try Me. See, here's where Drake is wrong, though, because it's like he didn't say that he wrote half of Drake's album. He said Drake took half of his album. So his album might have been 8 songs. 20 songs is a lot of fucking songs. Mm-hmm. Drake needs to chill. fast forward to 2019, things were still rocky between the two when The Weeknd released Lost in the Fire with lyrics that seemed to diss Drake. The lyrics are, "And I just want a baby with the right one, because I would never be the one to hide one."
Ooh, damn. Shit.
You have a son.
You got a son. You got a son, Drake. His name is Adonis. they've now squashed the beef. But some Drake fans have had trouble accepting The Weeknd's betrayal. Damn.
Imagine being one of those fans.
I know.
I mean, come on, guys. Lame.
Hey, man, I want to like you. Yeah. I've been trying to get over this, but what you did to my man, Drizzy, he does not give a fuck about you.
Neither of them know your name. They don't give a fuck. You. They will happily watch you die.
God's Plan 78 says he'll never forgive The Weeknd unless he apologizes. This is crazy. The Weeknd punched a police officer in 2015. And I know Tommy believes that blue lives are the only ones that matter. So he's fuming right now hearing about this. In 2015 of January, or January of 2015, I said that weird. The Weeknd was arrested in Vegas after punching a police officer. Hey, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
That's true. You get a pass on that one.
Yourtango.com. You don't need to be telling me about all this. He punched a police officer who had been called to the scene of a fight between the singer and another person. He was charged with battery of a protected person, to which he pleaded no contest, but managed to avoid jail time. According to reports, The Weeknd was ordered to pay $1,000 to a fund for injured police officers, complete an anger management course, undergo alcohol evaluation, and perform 50 hours of community service. That seems like low.
It's pretty kind of a slap on the wrist. $1,000?
Although it would be kind of crazy to see The Weeknd picking up trash on the side of the highway.
Just wearing his jumpsuit. His picker.
This one shoes pretty big and heavy.
I've had to do that. It's not fun at
all. Oh, yeah. Me too.
That stinks.
It's no good. I punched a cop in 2015 as well. All right. Let's hear some more music. And then we will get into your thoughts. All right. Next song here that I have on the list is I Feel It Coming. Now, this is The Weeknd and Daft Punk. Let's hear it. Nothing like listen to a sexy-ass song with the boys.
It's like impossible to dislike these songs,
yeah.
I feel like.
That song fucking rules.
So good.
That's like if you didn't know who that was and somebody's like, oh, this is like a Michael Jackson song that was never released, I would believe
that's
that.
Very,
100%.
Yeah, very Michael Jackson.
Apparently the chorus is made up of the lines, I feel it coming, babe, sung four times. The Weeknd's description of the feeling of impending orgasm drawing near by the repeating the lyrics.
Why do people need to break this down? Intensity of the moment.
That sucks. Yeah, that song rules.
Yeah, that one's just that's just top tier stuff.
And it was originally going to be "Come is impending."
Come is impending, babe. Oh man, yeah, that's a great song. The Weeknd sings here of a girl who has had bad experiences in previous relationships, and the singer is attempting to reassure her. So, baby, I can make it right. He's a huge power. The Weeknd is a huge advocate in the power of sex to bring two people together.
Wow.
Everyone's got to have a cause.
This was a bad suggestion by me because every song we play, we're all just like, yeah, that song is awesome.
Yeah,
it's just a great song.
I'm having a good time. Fuck it. Let's do the Beatles next episode. It's time. I'm happy we're finally listening to some good music. We've punished ourselves enough with this tired premise. All right. Let's go ahead and hear Starboy while we're getting all the hits out. Here's Starboy. Starboy.
He
famously a prequel to Starman by David Bowie.
Yes.
Kind of an origin story.
Yes.
Also features the N-word. Both
yes,
songs.
Both yep. songs. Mm-hmm.
Gotta actively edit that out when you're singing along. You better.
Tommy does like how Andy Kaufman did Mighty Mouse. He only sings that part.
You know who wouldn't do well in COVID times? Andy Kaufman.
Yes. Keep coughing, man. That's true. Mostly because I don't think he'd do well on Instagram. I don't think IG Reels would be good for old Andy Kaufman. Ciara Shane Carter says, I don't care about the meaning of this song, but the video is so cool. Well, that's good.
The meaning of Starboy? What's the meaning of that one?
Let's see. I have the song facts pulled up here. There's a lot on here. Album title was inspired by David Bowie. I just love David Bowie. I think he's the ultimate inventor. Well, I think Thomas Edison got
Thomas Edison would like a word.
David Bowie said, hold my beer.
That old drunk. Ziggy Stardust. That's my new thing. David Bowie was an alcoholic.
Oh, man.
I know he did a lot of drugs. Don't at me.
Don't at us. Let's see. When The Weeknd sings, look what you've done, there are a few ways to look at it. Here are three. Seeing as the first line of the song addresses the listener, I'm trying to put you in the worst mood. The you and look what you've done could refer to the listener again and music fans in general. The people who are consuming the music, they are the ones making him a star by buying his albums and seeing his shows, complicit in creating this cocky Starboy character. Two, The Weeknd could be talking about the music industry, referencing the machine that produces these larger-than-life pop stars. The execs, producers, songwriters, publicists, and image consultants, they are actually forming the Starboy character. Three, what if the you is actually The Weeknd himself?
Whoa.
What if he's talking to himself in that line? The Weeknd made a conscious decision to go from a mysterious underground artist in Toronto to a global sensation when he signed with Republic Records. After releasing his trilogy mixtapes in 2012 and then his official major label debut, Kissland, in 2013, he still hadn't reached the level of success he was desperately craving. So he started making artistic choices that would get him there. Duetting with Ariana Grande on Love Me Harder, contributing two songs to the 50 Shades of Grey soundtrack, and releasing Can't Feel My Face as the second single from his album Beauty Behind the Madness, all the while facing criticism from longtime fans for altering his sound from edgy and dark R&B to more radio-friendly pop. Maybe he regrets the change. Maybe he hates that he had to play the game in order to reach the level of success he wanted. Or maybe he doesn't really care.
Or maybe this whole article means nothing at all.
No.
Just really cut the legs off your own article with that last sentence.
Maybe God was one of us.
Maybe he wasn't at all. all right.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
That was Starboy. Let's ask some questions about his background with it. So what got you into, what was your entry point to The Weeknd? Was it just you heard him and you were like, that's Michael Jackson?
Yeah, pretty much. I was like, well, I just like that sound. Yeah. That's fun. That makes me want to dance a little bit.
Sure, sure.
You a big dancer?
I spent a lot of time of my adolescence trying to learn how to dance like, really? Michael Jackson. Yeah. Oh, I was just obsessed with the guy.
You tried moonwalk?
Of course. I used to really be able to do it pretty well.
Shit.
But I just had a VHS tape that I would just stop and play and stop and play and like just watch what his feet were doing for hours and hours and hours.
Yeah.
It was just the coolest thing I'd ever seen.
Sure.
A guy moving. Like, it was just so fucking awesome. Because it looked alien. It just didn't look like something a person could do.
Yeah.
So I was just obsessed with it. And then, you know, this guy comes around and I'm like, well... You got a fan, my guy. I don't know anything about you, but I'm in.
Do you like Bruno Mars?
I'm not mad at Bruno Mars.
Yeah.
But he's just not scratching that itch.
Sure,
for me.
Sure.
But that's a talented fuck, too.
Yeah, he's a talented little fuck, huh? all right. Have you gotten made fun of for liking The Weeknd ever?
Probably. I don't, like, you know, I'm in my 30s.
Sure.
I don't know if you. If you're going to make fun of me for liking The Weeknd, I don't know, get a hobby or something? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Tommy, what's your feelings coming into this?
You know, I was just saying, I really liked the new album. It's probably the only one I've like listened to in full, like mm-hmm. as an album, Dawn FM. I think it's really good. But I've always, every Weeknd song I hear, I think is a good pop song.
And yeah.
I know that people like, are obsessed. Like, he was very cool in like indie circles for the first three mixtapes now or whatever. But yeah, I definitely like the pop stuff.
Oh, I didn't know he was like an indie guy.
I think it was like his Toronto era was like, very revered by people.
Yeah. He had that. We were just talking about his original band name and that people were, I mean, this whole Starboy thing of him deciding to be a fucking superstar. I kind of hate that though, where people are like, he decided to become a superstar celebrity. It's like, you can't really predict if you're going to
become a superstar.
Yeah, that's stupid. He has been accused of plagiarism multiple times.
First for his third grade essay on Huck Finn. Then he said that was too early to be writing about Huck Finn.
Yep. In 2015, Cutting Edge Music Limited filed a lawsuit accusing the singer, his producers, and music labels for allegedly stealing the bass line in The Weeknd's The Hills from the score of the 2013 sci-fi movie The Machine. The song's producer allegedly sent the composer of the score a message via Twitter telling him about the sample, but Cutting Edge Music LTD claimed they were not credited appropriately. In 2021, a lawsuit filed by producers Sunyel Fox and Henry Strange claimed that The Weeknd's "Call Out My Name" sounded strikingly or substantially similar, if not identical, to their 2015 song "Vibe King." I think we should listen to see if we can tell if they're saying identical. I want to hear. Let's hear "Vibe King." I like that name for a song. All right, that's weird. If you type in Vibe King, Call Out My Name comes up. Not bode well for you.
That's a smoking gun. If I was the lawyer, pass my phone around. Look at this, huh? Hey, judge, get a load of this.
Hey, judge, you believe this fucking shit? The judge is smoking weed. Dude, that's fucking crazy. Chill court coming to. All right, here's Vibe King. I'm gonna skip forward.
Yeah.
that the whole time? All right. Yeah. I guess we get it. All right. Well, let's hear Colin O'Neill.
Identical.
We found each other.
I mean, am I crazy?
I mean, that's not
that
even
doesn't
close,
sound.
Right?
I mean, those are identical. Is it a progression thing that I'm missing?
No.
I don't
like,
hear
when
that at
I
all.
Hear identical. I'm picturing Lindsay Lohan and that other girl from Parent
yes.
Trap.
They How did they identical. Find her? Whatever happened to that other girl in Parent
Whatever
Trap?
That other actress was. She looked exactly like Lindsay Lohan.
People talk about, like, oh, Lindsay Lohan's career is, like, you know, fucked up. What about that girl? She killed it in that movie. This is a good podcast. Let's hear another song. All right. Here comes. My shit is loading slowly. All right, let's hear. Oh, we just heard Call Out My Name. That's what we were. That's the next song on the list. Perfect.
Great song.
Great. And the next, that worked out perfectly. I didn't even mean to do that. Damn. All right, the next song is Heartless. This video is so cool. Hate when you're trying to, like, you're leaving the house and you check your pockets, you're like, phone, wallet, keys, pussy.
I'm bringing way too much with me. It's falling out of my pockets.
I forgot.
It's an incredibly aggressive start to that song. Never need a bitch and what a bitch need.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an insane way to start a song.
Yes. And that's one of the ones that the next controversy thing was, like, The Weeknd shames women and promotes toxic masculinity in his songs, and they use that line. That's a cool line, though. Come on.
It's an aggressive one.
It's very aggro, but, you know.
Does anyone think it's a coincidence that toxic masculinity and me have the initials TM?
Oh,
that's
shit.
That's true. Damn, I never thought about that.
Sorry, man.
Something to think about. Yeah, dude, Tommy, I'm really fucking sorry. Fuck.
I didn't know that was something you were dealing with. I'm so sorry.
Dude, guys, get on the Patreon. Tommy's got to have surgery to change his name away from. Get it away from. all right, we got one more song here. We got to get to this peanut gallery. Oh, this is. I went golfing in Wichita, and the guy made me, like, give him my phone number to do it, and now I'm getting texts from Golf Wichita. I don't care about the golfing in Wichita.
We need your help.
You are nothing to me. Golf don't need me.
Or no, I don't.
All right, next song here, The Hills, and this is not about what you think it is. This is not about Lauren Conrad's hit TV show. Is that who was in The Hills? I don't remember.
I think so.
Yeah. All right, here's The Hills.
Send me the info.
Damn.
So that was Vibe King, right?
Yes. Yes, that was Vibe King.
I'll play the
King.
Weekend song.
This spooky sounding song finds the Weekend singing of a secret relationship, possibly with a celebrity. The singer is all too aware that now, because he is famous, the hills have eyes.
Whoa.
Ooh, this is spooky, man. Ominous. I might be too scared to continue the podcast. The song title, has lyrics and nod to Wes Craven's 1977 horror film, The Hills Have Eyes. The Weeknd and Nicki Minaj teamed up on the October 10th, 2015 episode of SNL to perform the remixed version of the song. I don't remember that. That sounds cool. He did this during the Super Bowl thing, during Super Bowl performance. Pretty cool. That song rules.
Does that count as like his dark early era?
So this was 2015. He debuted it during South by Southwest. That's a good question. It's from Beauty Behind the Madness. Is that before? I don't know. I don't know his era well enough, his timeline well. The Weeknd rose to fame quite rapidly in 2015, and in this song he takes the voice of a celebrity who is driven by self-destructive hedonism and has no qualms about it. It was produced by Million Dollar Mano, who was once Kanye West's tour DJ. I don't know about the timeline of this in terms of his celebrity, but... he said, I was working on this album in a world I'm not used to. You're sober, then one day you want to have fun, and that darkness comes back, and the darkness feels good. Sounds pretty fucking dark to me. That song's awesome. This is a great playlist. I mean, what can we say that hasn't been said about, the finest art that's ever been made? But... enough from us. Let's hear from the Peanut Gallery. We have to get to our segment where the people who listen to this show get to give their thoughts. We have a new Patreon subscriber, Dave K, who left some comments on...
he is Coach K, right?
That's right, yeah. Now that he's retired. Yeah.
I'm just Dave. No one knew his first name before.
I want to catch up on it because he subscribed and then he immediately left comments about like old episodes and about the fray. He said, these dopes stink ass. And then
right, I love this guy.
Who is this? Oh, maybe this was also, maybe I mixed it up and that wasn't about the fray. About, I think also the fray said, forgot about these turds. Seems like their entire catalog was made for retail background noise. Stinks ass.
Dave K is awesome.
I like this guy. He thinks everybody stinks ass.
Dave Kirk. Oh,
Kirk. Dave K has he came in with a voice, and I like it. About the Weeknd, he says, this doofus almost triggered my epilepsy during his halftime show. I didn't appreciate it.
Doofus is never not funny.
Doofus. These turds. These stink ass.
Stink ass.
Damn. I like that. That made me rethink all three of those artists. They are kind of stink ass. Yeah.
Nick Clerkin says, I remember his early mixtapes, which rule, being my freshman year of college alongside Frank Ocean's. I would never have thought The Weeknd would end up the mainstream star of the two. His success has been incredible. That's because, hey, if you're not taking shots, you know, we got to get Frankie. We got to get a new album, baby.
That's true.
You know, that's right. We need a new album from you, Frank. JV writes from Uncut Gems. That is correct.
That's good.
JV. Do we get anything on Twitter?
We got two. We got Austin Typo Negative said, better than the weekday, ha-cha-cha. But seriously, Blinding Lights is a bop. Full agree. And Micah St. Michael said, live vocals are incredible. That's key in an artist these days. Nothing has beat the original trilogy yet, but I'm hopeful that I'll have some kind of D'Angelo-esque retreat and return. And honestly hope he gets sober because the lyricism doesn't lie. Interesting.
Very interesting. I should talk into the mic. All right. We have We have some comments on the Facebook. I posted this a little late, so I fucked up. But if you want your comments guaranteed to be read, get on the Patreon. It's only $3 a day a month. You get ad-free episodes and bonuses and this. Eric Von Reicher says, I feel like his Super Bowl halftime show was much better than people gave him credit for. Agreed. Jay Mandium writes, everybody's working for the weekend. There you go, Jay. Derek Martz writes, I wish I loved anything as much as he loves Coke. Hell yeah. David E. Frankowick says, big fan. I especially enjoyed Saturdays because there's still another day before I go back to work on Monday. Yep. Another weekend joke. Shalewa Sharp, friend of the show, one of our the queen of the live shows.
Queen of mean.
Yes, the queen of mean, Shalewa Sharp. Nothing sharper than her tongue. says, I have done solo shower symposiums on the story arc of his three mixtapes. I love them so much. We gotta listen to these mixtapes. I gotta get in there. Corey Clifford writes, Blinding Lights was seared into my brain from 2K. Which 2K was that? I don't remember that. I fully don't remember him being in the... Oh, yeah, I do. It was either 2K20 or 2K21. I can't remember.
One of the announcers in one of the NBA playoff games, it was one of the old-ass ones, was like, and check out NBA 2K22. And he said, instead of 22, it made me laugh.
Oh, that's great. That is so funny.
2K22.
Some of these guys are going bozo mode on these fucking...
I mean, just since the weekend said friend zone in a song, Mark Jones, the commentator, whenever a player blocks another player, he goes, he put him in the friend zone. Like, that's not what that means, no, man.
That is so funny.
He won't be fucking him.
Once you're there, you're always there. No way out.
Mike, you going through something with a lady?
He will not be making love to Jimmy Butler. Jimmy is going to call him for advice on other guys.
The other commentators are like, get off the friend zone thing. Can we move on with the
game? And producers in the earpiece, like,
get off the friend zone. That's not at all what you think it means.
He puts his hand up like the fucking Lakers show. I blew that.
Oh, just Pat Riley, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm coming around on that show, by the way. I hated it when it started. Now I kind of like it. All right, we got to wrap this thing up. Tim, now is the time for you to give us your final thoughts on the weekend.
I mean, if you don't like the guy, that's a you problem. He's great. Mm-hmm. We just listened to 6 songs. We all agreed they're heat.
Yeah,
give him a spin. I'm listening to his little mixtape on the walk home.
Yeah,
because I've never heard any of that. And everybody's seen that. Seems to be everybody's favorite thing.
Yeah, I know. All right, yeah, we all got to do that. Look, some days we just gotta have it. You're just gonna spend a day chilling with the boys, listening to some good ass music. Don't be mad if you're like, this doesn't fit the fucking premise. All right. Just have a nice day. Listen to something good. How about once every 6 months, we get to just have a nice time?
Where everybody just goes, yeah, this is great music. This is really nice.
Time. We've been doing the show 5 damn years.
Come on. 500 episodes. 5, come on. 1,000 episodes. you guys don't realize for every episode we put out, we've recorded 5.
They are so much better than the ones.
I don't know why we've been hoarding the good
ones. That's when we really do the research.
Yeah, we know everything. I'm not just reading shit on my phone as we go.
And we get like real guests.
Yeah, we get like Tim McLaughlin.
Not this moonwalking motherfucker. Doesn't even know where he grew up.
Like, I'm just around. I'm just kind of moving around.
This guy's hiding something. Also, I mean, I don't know if sure Tim Smith is his real name. It's too generic.
Pretty witness you protection. You are in witness protection.
Tim, this is a great episode. Yeah, so I love the I love the playlist. I guess we can rate it, but I give it. Six. Yeah, it's a killer playlist. It's all these songs rule. I'm going to perfect 6 out of 6.
You got anything to promote, old Timmy?
I'm new to New York. I'm out bebopping around.
Sure.
Come say hello to the kid. I'll say hello to you.
Hell yeah.
Have a fun time.
Where can people follow you? You got some great stand-up comedy online.
Old Timmy Smith on Instagram. O-L-E Timmy Smith.
Ole Timmy Smith.
Ole. And then roommates-in-law, the little, we have me and my pal Tommy Schneeman.
Yes.
Have a little web series, a little podcast. Very fun.
Hell yeah.
Just a couple of guys having a good time.
Funny all boys. Right. Seriously, Tim's a fucking killer. Get it. Check him out. You're going to love his stand-up and his podcast. Get over there. And I think I'm going to be doing an album this year.
Hey.
And, I've got a date at the Comedy Fort in November. I've been here, and that's a killer room to do an album. And I figured why not now? Why not me?
Are you thinking of becoming a superstar?
I'm considering. People are going to say I sold out by finally making an album with my good material. Why didn't he do all of his new shit? But no, I got to get an album out there. And then, I'll be in Indianapolis this coming weekend at the Helium. Or not this coming, 2 weeks from now, whatever. And then, a bunch of road dates. Check out my website. I'll be in Ann Arbor, Michigan at the Comedy Showcase. And, Kansas City Comedy Club, Rumors in Winnipeg.
Oh,
wow. Never mind. I was going to do a peg joke.
Yeah.
All right, Tommy, what you got?
This week, if we have any North Carolina listeners, I will be in three different North Carolina cities with a friend of the show, Casey James Salango.
Let's go.
We will be in Fayetteville. We will be in Cary. And we will be in Asheville Thursday, Friday, Saturday in that order. So come to one of those shows if you live anywhere near there. It should be a lot of fun.
Hell yeah, dude. All right. Get on the Patreon. We love you guys. Thanks again, Tim. You're the man.
Thank you, guys.
All right. We'll see you guys next week. Keep it crispy. Bye.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.